This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Hope you enjoyed our previews. The American League and National League Central Divisions. We'll look at the East earlier next week. I liked our picks. They're not bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see if we get any of them right.
Probably not, but...
Yeah, probably not. I'll tell you one thing. Indiana, give their kids a lot of credit against undefeated South Carolina. They have taken this right to the wire. Indiana was down as many as 22 points in this game. Right now, they're shooting a free throw to get within three. Scraby's beside himself because they missed it. Still 16
games.
Seconds to can't win. You can't win. Got to make your free throws, Scraby says.
Yeah.
It's 78-74 right now. South Carolina, 16 seconds left. She made the second free throw. So we'll keep you up to date here. Indiana is going to have to foul and then, you know, hope for a couple of misses themselves. But 78-75, I mean, that's given the, that's what you were wishing the Aztecs could do last night, right? Just somehow hang around and have a chance. But UConn would have none of that.
None of it.
No. NCAA men's tournament game getting underway shortly. Marquette and North Carolina State. Padres and Giants tonight. 5:40 for Sammy Levitt's pregame show. 6:40 for Joe Musgrove and Kyle Harrison. You don't care about any of that stuff. What you're really interested in is qualifying to win a trip to Las Vegas. Our grand prize. Get a two-night stay at the Fontainebleau Las Vegas and dinner for two. Immerse yourself in timeless elegance at the Fontainebleau Las Vegas, a luxury resort, gaming, and meeting destination. The legacy of Fontainebleau Las Vegas, built upon more than 70 years. Sublime beauty, unparalleled service, and timeless design. Book now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Here are the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win if you're a first-time player. Let us know. That was a really good one.
Thank you.
Way to go out the week with that. You just need to let us know before the first question. You'll get that question for free today. People ask, why do you give first-time players a cheat? And I say, because I want first-time players to play.
Right. We want to encourage
them.
Yes, we want to encourage people who have not played this game to call in and play.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the other encouragement I would give, and we've seen it many times, Scrabe, I don't always get the questions.
Correct.
Which means you can advance and win, even if you're not an all-time sports trivia nut.
Yeah, backwards sweep.
It's
a backdoor sweep.
It's happened many times.
Yes.
So, you know, you should try it. You should take a shot at this game, and you could end up going to Las Vegas. But let's see what happens today.
Yeah, also, if you win today, you will win a four-pack of tickets to the Good Guys 23rd McGuire's Del Mar Nationals April 5th through the 7th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Purchase tickets or register your vehicle at good-guys.com. Also, that qualification for Las Vegas. Let's get to our first player today. Oh, I should also say, a lot of these questions are going to be based on the Padres game yesterday and the Padres season so far of three games. Okay? So I just want you all to know that before we go into it.
Because if, like, that doesn't interest you, you might want to hang up.
If you don't know the answers to the... If you did not watch the game yesterday, probably not going to know these answers.
Not going to... Your chances are going to be less.
Yes. So let's start with our first contestant, Josh. What's going on, Josh?
Not much. How about you guys?
Hi, Josh.
Not much. Ready for the weekend. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. How many runs did the Padres score yesterday?
Really?
Six.
Scraby working overtime.
No, that's a question number one, Chris. Here we go, Josh. Question number two. Jackson Merrill is number three for the Padres. Who wore that number for the Padres last season?
You said last season?
Correct, last season. Gonna need an answer.
I'm not sure.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had to buzz you before I get the people on me. Chris, you know.
Before you start my timer, Indiana ran out of time. South Carolina hangs on. But they got a scare.
They did.
79-75, the final.
Yeah.
I don't know who wore number three last year. I'm trying to remember. You know, they had a lot of guys come in and out. A lot of guys left. Juan Soto wear number? I don't know what he wore. I don't like Juan Soto. No, he wore 22.
He did.
Blake Snell. No, he wore four. I don't know. Jerks and Profar. I'm guessing like everybody. I don't know.
You may hate this answer. Bob Melvin. He did have a number last year.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
He was number three.
That's good. Good. That was maybe even a three-pointer question.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Someone actually told me that yesterday at the game, and I was like, question right there.
Yeah, very good one.
All right.
Good
Josh,
for you, though. Josh.
You're still there.
You get to the final.
I'm still here.
The final one, yeah.
All right, this one has nothing to do with the Padres because third questions need to be difficult, so here we go. All-time great pitcher Satchel Paige finished his career with what Major League Baseball team?
Satchel.
I'm going to guess the Indians.
The Indians.
The Tribe.
Stay there.
The only reason I'm pretty sure I know this is because we brought it up before. He pitched when he was like 57 years old. For the Kansas City A's.
Wow.
Because he played his Negro League games with the Kansas City Monarchs. So they brought him in for a... They brought him in like for a promotion, and he ended up striking out like five guys at 57 years old. Satchel.
Sorry about that, Josh.
Sorry, Josh.
Good knowledge, Chris. I'm not going to be mad at that one.
Okay.
All right, let's get to our next contestant, Evan in El Cajon. What's up, Evan?
I'm actually just a little bit tired. I spent all night last night cramming the history of ancient baseball stadiums. So I can tell you some questions.
Well, you know what? That could help you out later on in life. We may be asking
if it doesn't
about
help
stadiums
you today,
again.
It'll help you at some point.
Yeah. What was it? The other day I was asking like all the different stadiums that Babe Ruth did stuff in. Anyway. All right, Evan. Here we go. Question number one. Which team scored first yesterday in the Padres-Giants game?
The Giants scored
50-50.
First.
50-50.
Giants scored first. Yeah, I figured you would know that anyway, Chris, so I was happy with that. Here we go, Evan. Question number two. Who has the most hits on the season for the Padres?
So far. Who's leading them in hits?
I believe it's Cronenworth.
Going Crony.
Stay there.
I'm going Xander. He's got three straight multiple hit games.
Sorry, Evan.
But the good news is you know the beginnings and the demolition story behind Scheib Park in Philadelphia.
Yes.
I mean, if he did his research, he would know
that. I'm sure he did.
He said he was looking up all the ancient
stadiums. He
said
he stayed up all night and he was tired. Well, I appreciate that about him.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go to our next contestant, it's either Jamie or Jaime. I'm not sure, but you tell us, contestant.
Hello.
It's Jamie, and I've been called worse today.
Oh gosh.
Wow. Already?
Are you okay? Do you need to talk about
it? Do we need to open a session of sports court for you?
Yes. Are you ready to go, Jamie?
I am. I was at the game yesterday, so let's try and get as many of those as we can.
Oh, perfect. Oh, well, all right, here we go.
You should be good.
Who picked up the win for the Padres yesterday?
No. At least you have to have a little knowledge for that.
Oh, I was either Matsui or I'm going to say Matsui.
Nice job. Sticking with your gut.
Happy to hear that bell.
Yes. Sticking with
your
gut.
You got it right.
Nice
job. Matsui got the win.
He did. All right. Here we go. Question number two. It's a little bit more difficult. Two Padres stole a base yesterday. Name both.
Ahsan Kim.
Okay.
And Wade.
Nice job.
He was
nice
at the game.
Job. Yes, you were. It. All right. Now nailed we're it. Done with the Padres question. So now you need to know some other stuff. But you are on to question number three. Say that again, Jamie.
You're killing me with another category.
Well, I'm going to give you a, let's see, I have, I'm going to give you a baseball question. Kirk Gibson won his first World Series with what team?
His first World Series would have probably been with the Dodgers.
The Dodgers. Unfortunately not. Chris, do you know this?
I do.
You do?
He tortured the Padres in 1984.
Oh.
And he capped off the World Series with a home run against Goose Gossage.
Oh.
Yeah, Tigers.
Yeah, I knew you knew it, so that's why.
Sorry about
Jamie.
That.
Hopefully Jamie, your day goes better.
There's a very famous sequence in that game where Dick Williams came out to tell Rich Goose Gossage to walk Kirk Gibson.
Okay.
Late in the game, they were down a run, but there were two men on.
Uh-huh.
Goose Gossage says,
really?
I'm going to get him.
Okay.
Sparky Anderson yelled out of the Tiger dugout to Kirk Gibson, he doesn't want to walk you.
Oh.
He wants to come after you.
Okay.
Kirk Gibson won that battle, unfortunately.
Wow. He's also the guy, right, who did the guitar thing or whatever he did when he was running around the bases.
After he homered against Eckersley.
Yes.
With the Dodgers.
Same guy, right?
That was in 88. That's
okay.
Kirk Gibson.
All right.
Defensive back for Michigan State before his baseball playing career.
You know, it really bothers me when guys are just so athletic because
Kirk Gibson,
you can give
athlete.
Us a little bit of your athleticism, people.
Share and share alike.
All right, let's go to Bill in San Diego. Bill, how are you? Oh, wait, Bill. I'm hitting the button, Bill. I don't know what's happening.
Okay.
Bill, are you there? Okay, Bill's there. Bill, how are you?
I'm here. Good, good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Here we go. Question number one. Who has hit the only Padre home run of the
I can't think of it.
All right. Chris?
Manny Machado.
That is correct.
Deep into the Korean night.
Yes, it's still flying. All right, we're going to go to a tiebreaker.
Really?
Tiebreaker. Yes, because we have lots of stuff to fit into this hour.
Okay.
What is our name, Chris? Kirk Gibson.
Yeah, Kirk Gibson's good.
All right, let's see.
Kirk Gibson.
Kirk. I keep calling him Kurt. His name is Kirk. I knew that, too.
He also managed the Diamondbacks.
Oh.
He's had a big career.
That is
been
a
around
big
for
career.
A long time, Kirk Gibson.
All right, let's go to our next contestant, Chris, in Mission Valley. Chris, are you there?
Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good to chat with you again.
Yes, you
good
too.
To have you
Thank
on.
You for calling in.
You got
we're
a 50-50 shot right here.
So I'm going to ask Chris a question. He's going to give a number, and you're going to guess whether the actual number is higher or lower than what Chris guessed. So, Chris, how many home runs did he have in his career?
That's a fair question. How many years did Kirk Gibson play in the
17.
Major League? 17 years.
79 through 95.
Yeah. The last few, he was fading a little, but Kirk Gibson had over 350 home runs. I want to say he had 355 even.
355 home runs. Chris, is the actual answer higher or lower?
I'm going to take the over.
You're going to
say
take
it's
the
higher.
Over.
Kirk Gibson?
Wow. It's
what
not even
it?
Close either.
Really? What was it?
255 home runs in his career.
God, I thought he averaged
that,
at least 20 per season.
He did in the middle of his career. Yeah.
He tailed off at the end with injuries.
He had 27, 29, 28, 24, 25 in five straight years. So,
but other than that, not quite.
All right, let's go to our next contestant. We're going to go to Brad. Brad, are you there?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Brad.
Not much. Not much. Here we go. I'm going to give Chris a question, or I'm going to ask Chris, and you're going to guess. Stolen bases, Chris. How many did he have in his career?
Well, he ran a little bit.
I didn't realize this about him.
17 years, 10 per year.
Okay.
175.
175. Brad, is the actual answer higher or lower?
Let's go with lower.
Lower. Sorry, Brad.
Kirk Gibson ran a little bit.
You did.
I said he ran a little bit.
284.
He had more stolen bases than home runs.
He did.
That's surprising. I don't think anybody would know that. I wouldn't have got that right.
Yeah, I didn't know that he was such a runner because he looks like such a big dude.
He was, but he had really good speed. Remember, he played DB in college, so he could run.
Makes sense.
And they ran a lot more in those days. They created runs. But anyway, yeah. Kirk Gibson's a great player. He's real close to the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's like in the Hall of really, really good.
Oh, but yeah, I guess he can't
just
be
not
in
quite
anymore.
Been in the Hall of Fame.
All right, let's go to Ryan in El Cajon. Ryan, are you ready?
Let's go, Ryan.
Yes.
We're counting on you.
Here we go, Chris. How many RBIs did he have in his career? Kirk Gibson.
Yeah. Let me see. 17 years. Times 75. Nah, that's too many. Times 60. Zero? Oh, my God. I can't add. I can't subtract under pressure. I mean, I can't do multiplication under pressure
like
this.
Let me try. What are the numbers?
17 years.
Okay.
I'm
saying
average.
You said 75?
No, I readjusted that because of his injury.
60.
I think 60 times 17.
60 times 17 is
zero.
That's
my answer.
7 times 6 is 42, so 42.
We're taking way too long. He had 1,000 RBIs.
1,000 RBIs.
Right on the money.
Ryan, is the actual answer higher or lower?
Lower.
Lower!
Hey, thank you, Ryan. Thank you for saving
right
this game. The show was about to run out. I mean, we had another hour left.
Hey, I was willing to do math until the end of the show.
Yeah, what was the...
870 RBIs. Okay. So...
Kirk Gibson, really, like I said, from the Hall of really, really good, won an MVP, the Dodgers, right, 1988. I mean, he had a great career.
But, he was also born on the same day as my mom.
That I really did not know.
May 28th.
That's awesome. Day after my wife, Loriella.
And my birthday's on May 25th.
Okay.
We got lots of birthdays.
We're starting to give out too much information, but that's okay.
That's not true.
Early... In the NCAA regional Sweet 16 matchup, who'd you like here, Marquette or North Carolina State? You liked
NC State.
NC State 9, Marquette 7.
Okay, great.
Obviously, it's early.
Yeah.
But I like to give you the updates.
Thank you for that.
I'll continue updating that. The Gonzaga-Purdue game tips in about 20 minutes. I will say this, I'm a lot more relaxed watching those two games tonight than I was
of course
watching the Aztecs last night. So we'll keep rolling towards 6 o'clock. Big Five's coming up shortly. Tony returns for that segment. Do not go anywhere. We'll check traffic right now, and then more Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, welcome back, Gwen and Chris. 4:24 is the time. Big Five is just around the corner. On Saturday, March 9th, that's 3 weeks ago, North Carolina State lost to Pittsburgh 81-73 to finish the regular season on a four-game losing streak. They had a record of 17-14. They finished in 10th place in the ACC. We know what's happened since then. They won five in a row to win the ACC tournament. Now they're in the Sweet 16, and they're making Marquette look bad right now. 20-12 NC State over Marquette in the early going. I don't know what happened with that team. I'm not close enough to, you know, following that, but
they just caught fire.
Something's gone crazy, and NC State can't be slowed down right now.
They've
caught fire.
So we'll
see how far they keep it going. Purdue and Gonzaga tip off in a few minutes. Do I have time for a quick football story?
Well, I want to first tell you that Kirk Kenny said that Gibson was a wide receiver.
Okay. I might. All right. I thought it was a DB.
All right. Well, no, I'm not saying that you're wrong.
You know who might have been a DB at Michigan State?
Who?
Garvey.
Steve Garvey?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to look this up while you tell your football story.
Garvey went to Michigan State, so maybe he's the DB.
But Gibson also went to Michigan State.
I know that.
Okay.
But I think Garvey did also.
All right.
That's where I may have got confused on the DB. But look all that up.
He was a wide receiver.
Kirk Gibson.
Yeah.
So Garvey might have been a DB.
I'm going to look at Garf.
While you look at that, I'll tell everybody that according to Adam Schefter, the New York Jets have acquired a pretty good player here from the Philadelphia Eagles.
I haven't seen this.
Haason Reddick.
Oh, wow.
Edge pass rusher from the Eagles, traded to the Jets. Reddick had 11 sacks last year, played 74% of their snaps on defense.
I believe he was the one who broke Brock Purdy's arm 2 years ago.
I think he was. Jets, all they have to give up. Sis, I don't get this. But, I don't understand draft picks. Third-round pick, conditional. That's it. You get like an all-pro player for a third-round pick. That just seems really smart.
I was reading into this a little bit about the valuation of draft picks and why it seems like they're giving up good players for bad draft picks. And it's a lot about contracts, too. Like
okay.
How his contract lines up with your payroll.
Last four seasons in the NFL, two players have had 10 or more sacks. One of those is Haason Reddick. The other is Myles Garrett. So I think that's a pretty good pickup for the Jets.
Yeah.
And they don't have to give up a whole lot for it. Coach Robert Sala. I never can pronounce his name right.
Sala, yeah.
Sala. Said, quote, "The more, the merrier." He's happy with this signing, I'm sure.
They've actually added a lot.
They have.
A lot, Chris.
Yeah, and they get Aaron Rodgers back, one would presume, unless he, you know, ends up as president of the United States
somehow.
No,
he said he's not going to do it, so.
It's never, you never can tell. He might change his mind.
Yeah.
Miami Dolphins today make big news, Scrape. They add an additional year to the contract of Raheem Mostert. So,
what?
There's your
who
NFL
cares?
News.
Like, not who cares, but like, what's the point?
I don't know. I think he was going to run out. They don't want him to run out.
I mean, the guy plays like seven games a year.
He played them all last year. He might have missed one or two. He had 21 TDs. He had to play more than seven games
right.
to score 21
right.
touchdowns.
I guess I was wrong.
Had a 19 combined 1,900 yards total offense. I'd say it was a good year for Raheem Mostert. So he makes a little more money. Okay. Bottom of the hour. Big Five coming up. Stick around. Tony's back for that segment.
An all-baseball Big Five today.
How about that?
Yeah.
Not a bad call with baseball having just started.
I told you I'm very excited.
You're really
I'm into it.
You're on the cusp of what's going on. I'm very, very proud of that.
Yeah.
Stick around.
Ben and Woods on the Fan.
Marcello, Matt Scraby, together in Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony Gwynn Jr., Petco Park. Padres, Petco Park. Giants, game two of the four-game series. Don't know that they'll play all four. Supposed to rain tomorrow and Sunday. And we all know what that means. Can't leave our house. Can't
Chris
do anything.
Really doesn't like it when they predict rain.
I don't like the fact that our reaction to it is that we have to shut our lives down. That's what I don't like.
You know,
it's just some rain.
I feel
get an umbrella, put a jacket on, and go do what you got
to
do.
No, what they're trying to avoid is the people driving through 10-foot puddles in Mission Valley and getting stuck. That's what they're trying
to
avoid.
Them. If you're too stupid to not drive your car through a 15-foot puddle, I can't help you.
I kind of agree with you, Bob.
Thank you. Celebrate and save at Ashley's anniversary sale. Hot buys, your choice of color, starting at just $339. Ashley Sleep Mattresses start at $250. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. It's only at Ashley. Only here on 97.3 The Fan do you get a daily dose of the Big Five. And it's coming up right about now.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
First Big Five of the regular season. Everything just seems so much better now that baseball is underway. I gotta say, guys.
Yeah.
I gotta say.
Well, you're making it better because you've already given the Padres the pennant based on two successive performances in a row. And I'm trying to calm you down a little bit.
I need to be excited about this team.
You need to be excited about something. That's something to be excited about.
Yeah. Yesterday, I know I said it a million times. This team is different, Chris.
You know what we had to do yesterday, Tony? We had to go back to last year after 10 games when the Padres were 6-4 and they had just swept 3 in Atlanta. And we called up the beginning of that Monday show.
Yeah, I went back.
Just to see how excited we were that day. Just trying to remind Scraby that a little early season excitement can be dampened quickly.
Chris came on and he was like, and that Nelson Cruz, yes!
Nelson Cruz is the RBI leader. The Padres are in first place. All was good in the world.
Oh, I think he said right where they should be in first place.
Right where they should be, yeah.
We were
pretty excited at that time,
that's
too.
That's hilarious.
So,
yeah. That's a great reminder, though. That's good on you guys.
That was good thought, Chris, because I was totally feeling it last year, too. All right, here we go.
Number five.
And speaking of it being early in the season, I know that we are just 3 games in, so I realize this is not a huge deal, but Johnny Brito has struggled in his first 2 appearances of the season. He's faced 7 batters and has only logged 2/3 of an inning while giving up 4 earned runs. I am not going to ask you guys if you are worried about Johnny Brito, but Tony, what I want to ask you is how you think Mike Schilt handles him in the next few games.
The same way he handled him the first game.
Okay. Just keep throwing him out there and see. Here's my thought. I'm not saying bench him. I'm not saying anything like that.
I know you don't want to ask the question, but the question still is insinuated the same way. So I'll say it by saying it like this.
Chris is giving me this little head nod like, you guys are not right in this instance.
Well, I'm not going to be drawn into your web of deceit.
Deceit?
That's right.
Okay.
It's his first opportunity. He's going to have to use them the same way. Now, if he goes out the next time and he doesn't get it right, maybe he says, all right, I'll try. I won't put him in that spot. But I just think it's really early to make a decision one way or other at this point. Brito just couldn't throw his breaking ball worth anything that was fooling anybody. He was leaving it up. And if you're not executing, you know, that's the problem. It wasn't as though he came in and walked the house or he just couldn't throw that breaking ball for a strike, and it burned him.
Chris, I know this is really early in the season, but how do you think Mike Schilt handles him?
I think
forward?
You send him down
you
to the
send
minor
him
leagues.
To AAA.
Yeah, I think that's it. We can't. If we're going to have a championship season, we can't afford any hiccups along the way.
Right about that, Chris.
That's right. I think that, I don't know. I mean, he was in the 7th inning with a 1-run lead, and that's a pretty high leverage situation yesterday. Maybe he's earned that, but I think I have to, maybe give him a tie game or, you know, a run behind, just to give him an inning of work so that he feels good about himself. I thought it was interesting that after the game, Xander Bogaerts referred to Johnny Brito right away.
He did.
When he was asked about the game, Tony, I don't know if you heard his interview, but
with Sam, he did, yeah.
Yeah, he was asked about, you know, Xander, you know, Sam asked him, what'd you think of the game? And he goes, well, the one thing I wanted to make sure was we won it for Johnny Brito, because he was really down on himself, and that's how you pick up a teammate, etc. So, you know, you got to make sure this guy keeps his confidence, and I think a good way to get his confidence back is just get him an inning somewhere where he can relax a little bit instead of having a one-run lead. So that's what I might do.
I think that it could work reverse in that way, right? Like, when he comes out of this game, part of the reason why he's down as a young guy, you're like, man, I might have just blown my opportunity, right?
Yeah, right,
you
yeah. Get,
you're sticking back in there. You start to, not even when he's sticking back in there, when the phone rings and they go, Brito, get loose, and it's the same situation, all of a sudden, that in itself is a confidence boost. Now,
flip that,
he gets a call in like the fifth of a two-run, you know, for two runs down, those thoughts start to creep back in your head again, like, oh man, I knew it. Here we go. Now I gotta, and you know, at that point, you have to make the decision to kind of pull yourself out of that and get the job done. But it could work. It could work opposite sometimes.
That's a very, very
interesting
good point.
Yes. Interesting point. You must have played some baseball in your time.
Yeah. When I said that whole thing about it being cool in the radio or the intercom empire, I thought, man, they're going to send me back to the minors for this right now.
They're never going to let me talk.
And we stuck with you.
You did.
Yes,
you
we did.
You put me back in, coaches. Thank
5
you.
Years later,
thank
we're regretting
you.
That mistake.
How did I know that was coming?
Number four.
Okay, so a few things about this. Tony, you're really lucky you do not have to pronounce this guy's name on a daily basis, but a crazy scene happened last night in the Cubs-Rangers game. I'm going to be very careful with my pronunciation of Miles Mastrobuoni.
Yeah.
That's a tough name.
Yeah, well, if you just say Mastrobuoni, you can get away with it, but you had to bring attention to it.
Well, because I was afraid I was going to say something that was not radio-friendly. I'm just going to call him Mr. Miles here from now on.
Mr. Miles.
Runners on first and second in the top of the ninth. He appeared to foul off the second pitch, but when the ball bounced past catcher Jonah Heim and onto the grass, the umpire Chad Fairchild didn't see signal that there had been contact, even as the catcher pleaded for it, but there was nothing the Rangers could do. That type of play isn't considered reviewable scenario by MLB rules, and it remained a pass ball. After the game, Fairchild watched the replay, then spoke with reporters saying, well, I'm just going to stick with what I did on the field. If you've got questions for that, I'm not going to talk about videos. End quote.
Yeah.
Chris, is this a reviewable play in your mind?
Everything should be a reviewable play. That would end this. And I know that I have support from one Jesse Agler, because he mentions this often in his broadcast. Just make everything reviewable. You don't have to worry about it. You've got the technology. We can slow down the video. If it is really that inconclusive, then you're going to go with the call. But at least have the ability to review something. I think it's silly to have the technology and not use it in certain instances. So this, to me, is a really easy one to solve.
All right. Tony, is this reviewable? Is this a reviewable play in your mind?
I think this should be on the list of things that are reviewable. I don't think these jokers should be given a full
slate
of challenges to challenge whatever you want. We'll be here all day.
Why, poor Tony, you know, you got to get him home in time for the Seinfeld episode at 11 p.m.
Well, I'm just saying, no one, that was part of why nobody was coming to the games in the first place, was because...
No, I agree with you, but...
They were taking too long, so...
No, but if they used their challenge for the game on that play, then they used it, right?
Yeah, if it's going to be that way, yeah, I think that would be great.
Extra challenges. No.
That one in particular should be added, though, right? I mean... That ball changed directions. Like, it was pretty obvious when you watched it, especially in slow-mo, that he was foul-tipped it. And they ended up losing the ball game because of that. So, I guess I would agree with Chris. Open it up for everything, you still get the same amount of challenge.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to lengthen the game. I just want to be able to review everything. And I'll tell you another thing. They put that rule in about the first baseline yesterday, or for this year, where the white line doesn't necessarily mean you're outside the baseline.
Mm-hmm.
And the umpires boxed that up. I mean, Tyler Wade clearly got around that tag. As far as I was concerned, Tony, it was said to be 3 feet. Now, he stepped outside the line, but he did not go more than 3 feet around that tag. I think the Padres caught a bad break on that.
Yeah, I said it when it happened.
Yeah.
That strip of dirt is not 6 feet wide. So he would need it. I mean, everybody really generally starts in the middle, one step to the right or one step to the left. You're going to have to be in the grass virtually in order to be 3 feet from where you started. I don't know, unless you are on the very edge of one way or the other, that's where you start to run, which I think is virtually impossible. You aren't going to be able to get to the, stay in the dirt and be 3 feet or past 3 feet. You're just not.
Yeah.
You're going to be in the grass. And I think they did box that one.
All right.
Number three.
The Astros lost yesterday at home, which at least for now is a problem that's carried over from last year. During last season, they were 51-30 on the road. How's that possible? They didn't play.
Yeah, 81 games.
Duh. There's my math again, guys.
Not good.
51-30 on the road in the regular season.
Atrocious.
Compared to, that was bad, 39-42 at home. The trend also continued into the playoffs last year. The Astros were 5-0 on the road and just 1-5 at home, losing all four ALCS home games and the series in the process. So, Tony, is there something to this, or is it just a coincidence?
I think it's a coincidence. I mean, it may have been something to it last year when they were losing in the playoffs. But, I mean, it's been a whole offseason. Yeah, I don't think there's... I mean, and then again, you know, now that I think about it, they did have the whole batter's eye thing. I don't know if that's been rectified, if it's still the same or not. Because there was a lot of complaints about that, if I recall. So, I don't know. If you keep losing games there and our run totals, the offense that is as prolific as this continues to struggle there... Then we might have enough data to start saying, all right, they clearly, this batter's eye thing is real. But for now, I'll say that it's coincidence. I think the Astros may be finding out how nice it was to have Dusty Baker at the helm, possibly, when this season's all said and done.
Yeah,
right.
You brought that up the other day.
Chris, what do you think?
Well, this is karma, getting the Astros
okay.
back. And I'm going to, you're not going where you think I'm going here.
Okay.
Sometimes karma takes a long time to come around.
For sure.
But if you wait long enough, it'll get you. And the word was, when the Houston Astros played their games way back when in the Astrodome, Tony, you may remember this.
Oh, yes.
They were accused of turning the air conditioning on and blowing it in from center field when
this.
The other team was at bat, and then reversing the airflow when they were at bat. And a lot of people thought the Astros, way before the trash can incident, were doing a little cheating way back when. Well, guess what? They don't have that advantage anymore because they don't play in the Astrodome. But now, instead of winning a bunch of close games like they used to at home, they're losing. Karma wins again.
Karma wins again.
That's all I can think of.
All right.
Because otherwise, this makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Okay. Next one. That was number three. Okay.
Yeah.
Number two.
Your math is so good you don't even know what comes after three.
Yes. Two comes after three. Rays fans are not feeling something the Rays do every year. And this year they are being very vocal about putting an end to it. I didn't know this, but the Rays hang a banner every year, even if they're just a wild card team. So fans understand that winning a division or a pennant and, of course, the World Series is worthy of a banner. But a wild card series appearance is not something they want to see hanging from the rafters, and they're asking their team to stop doing
this. They want them to take
this.
It down?
No, they're just saying, can we please stop? You know, we had 99 wins last year. We didn't really do great in the playoffs, and so please stop doing this. Chris, should the Rays stop doing this?
I can understand the fans thinking the way they do, and I could also understand it if it was, a franchise that was, you know, had been around forever and was just hanging every single possible banner and they had them strung up all over the stadium. But the Rays are pretty new to the playoffs. It seems like they make them every year now, but they're in a division with the Yankees. They're in a division with the Red Sox. I think when they accomplish that, I think it's a feather in the organization's cap, and I think most people think it is too. So I can understand why the Rays wanted to put it up there. It just signifies a successful season. And look, the Padres, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, they didn't raise anything at all a couple of years ago, right, when they got the wild card. But they got to the NL Championship Series. So, you know, to me, 2022, right?
Yeah,
2022 was a great season in Padre history, but it's not notified anywhere in the ballpark, right? Because they didn't win a division and they didn't win a pennant. So, I don't know. I don't think I'm not that upset with this.
What about you, Tony? Are you upset with the Rays for putting up a wild card banner? I know you're probably super upset.
No, I'm not upset. I'm not gonna lie. I thought that you're gonna go someplace completely different. I didn't know
like
people
what?
Were getting this upset about a wild card banner. I think that's. I think it's certainly. I think it's worthy of recognition. You don't have to make it the same color as your divisional ones or, you know, your World Series appearance. But I still think it's a successful season. I think you should celebrate those because although things are going good now, it doesn't always mean it's going to be like that. We see it all the time. Teams going 10, 15-year droughts, and you'll be wishing that you could hang a wild card banner again.
That is very true. They will be wishing. Chris, what if the Rockies, if they even just
they
make it out of,
wishing.
If they're like fourth place, do they hang a banner this
Rockies
year?
Rockies are going to put up a banner for 10 wins this year.
10 wins, okay.
They're going to signify that accomplishment.
Number one.
Now, Atlanta Braves manager Brian Snicker's family did not go to Philadelphia on opening day. He called out Phillies fans in spring training. I missed this, but he said he was they had objectionable behavior from Phillies fans in the playoffs.
Who did this?
Brian Snicker.
Okay.
There was objectionable behavior from Phillies fans towards his wife and other Atlanta friends and family members during the playoffs. He said in a radio interview a few weeks ago, quote, "It's rough there, and they don't seem to mind either, quite honestly. It was rough on them all last year to the point where it was concerning for his family." Tony, are the Phillies fans the quote-unquote worst in baseball?
Well, I mean, I'm sure to folks outside of Philly, yeah, I'm sure they feel like that.
Tony played there, remember.
I know.
So he's loved in Philadelphia.
I know.
This isn't anything new, by the way. Philly has always been thought of as some of the worst fans to deal with from an opposing team. And you know what? It's kind of supposed to be that way. Now, whether Philly fans go further than other fans, I don't know that that's necessarily true. There seems to be a lot of, we can keep discussing this, but there seems to be a lot of bad behavior no matter where you go, it seems like, in stadiums. But I'm sure Philly's dialed up a little bit more than some of the others. And to answer your question, are they the worst fan base in terms of the opponents going in there? I would say yes.
All right, so Chris has been worried about Mr. Go heading over to Philly
well,
for a while now.
That's the city I bring up every time, isn't it?
It is. That's what I'm saying. You always say
but
it.
But I agree with Tony. I think fan behavior is lousy everywhere. And I think Brian Snitker and, you know, the Braves, you know, in a situation like this, I think he ought to look to his own organization to see if he can't get them, you know, a place to sit up in the press box area or whether, you know, if it's a suite, whatever. I'm sure the Braves could afford it. You know, have them, you know, if they want them to attend a game. You go out in the middle of the fans and in Philadelphia and you wear a bunch of Brian Snitker gear and cheer the manager. I don't know what else you expect Philadelphia fans to do. They're not going to welcome you with open arms. That's just...
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
First Big Five of the regular season. Everything just seems so much better now that baseball is underway. I gotta say, guys.
Yeah.
I gotta say.
Well, you're making it better because you've already given the Padres the pennant based on two successive performances in a row. I'm trying to calm you down a little bit.
I need to be excited about this team.
You need to be excited about something. That's something to be excited about.
Yeah. Yesterday, I know I said it a million times. This team is different, Chris.
You know what we had to do yesterday, Tony? We had to go back to last year after 10 games when the Padres were 6-4 and they had just swept 3 in Atlanta. And we called up the beginning of that Monday show.
Yeah, I went back.
Just to see how excited we were that day. Just trying to remind Scraby that a little early season excitement can be dampened quickly.
Chris came on and he was like, and that Nelson Cruz, yes!
Nelson Cruz is the RBI leader. The Padres are in first place. All was good in the world.
Oh, I think he said right where they should be in first place.
Right where they should be, yeah.
We were
pretty excited at that time,
too. That's hilarious. That's a great reminder, though. That's good on you guys.
That
was good thought, Chris, because I was totally feeling it last year, too. All right, here we go.
Number five.
And speaking of it being early in the season, I know that we are just 3 games in, so I realize this is not a huge deal, but Johnny Brito has struggled in his first 2 appearances of the season. He's faced 7 batters and has only logged 2/3 of an inning while giving up 4 earned runs. I am not going to ask you guys if you are worried about Johnny Brito, but Tony, what I want to ask you is how you think Mike Schilt handles him in the next few games.
The same way he handled him the first game.
Okay. Just keep throwing him out there and see. Here's my thought. I'm not saying bench him. I'm not saying anything like that.
I know you don't want to ask the question, but the question still is insinuated the same way. So I'll say it by saying it like this.
Chris is giving me this little head nod like, you guys are not right in this instance.
I'm not going to be drawn into your web of deceit.
Deceit?
That's right.
Okay.
It's his first opportunity. He's going to have to use them the same way. Now, if he goes out the next time and he doesn't get it right, maybe he says, all right, I'll try. I won't put him in that spot. But I just think it's really early to make a decision one way or other at this point. Brito just couldn't throw his breaking ball worth anything that was fooling anybody. He was leaving it up. And if you're not executing, you know, that's the problem. It wasn't as though he came in and walked the house or – he just couldn't throw that breaking ball for a strike, and it burned him.
Chris, I know this is really early in the season, but how do you think Mike Schilt handles him?
I think
forward?
You send him down
you
to the
send
minor
him
leagues.
To AAA.
Yeah, I think that's it. We can't. If we're going to have a championship season, we can't afford any hiccups along the way.
Right about that, Chris.
That's right. I think that, I don't know. I mean, he was in the 7th inning with a 1-run lead, and that's a pretty high leverage situation yesterday. Maybe he's earned that, but I think I have to, maybe give him a tie game or, a run behind just to give him an inning of work so that he feels good about himself. I thought it was interesting that after the game, Xander Bogaerts referred to Johnny Brito right away.
He did.
When he was asked about the game, Tony, I don't know if you heard his interview, but
with Sam, he did. Yeah.
Yeah. He was asked about, Xander, Sam asked him, what'd you think of the game? And he goes, well, the one thing I wanted to make sure was we won it for Johnny Brito, because he was really down on himself, and that's how you pick up a teammate, etc. So, you got to make sure this guy keeps his confidence, and I think a good way to get his confidence back is just get him an inning somewhere where he can relax a little bit instead of having a 1-run lead. So that's what I might do.
I think that it could work reverse in that way, right? Like, when he comes out of this game, part of the reason why he's down as a young guy, you're like, man, I might have just blown my opportunity, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
You're sticking back in there. You start to, not even when he's sticking back in there, when the phone rings and they go, Brito, get loose, and it's the same situation, all of a sudden, that in itself is a confidence boost. Now,
flip that.
He gets a call in like the fifth of a two run, you know, for two runs down. Those thoughts start to creep back in your head again. Like, oh man, I knew it. Here we go. Now I gotta. And, you know, at that point, you have to make the decision to kind of pull yourself out of that and get the job done. But it can work. It can work opposite sometimes.
That's a very, very
interesting
good
point. Yes. Interesting point. You must have played some baseball in your time.
Yeah. When I said that whole thing about it being cool in the radio or the intercom empire, I thought, man, they're going to send me back to the minors for this right now.
They're never going to let me talk.
And we stuck with you.
You did.
Yes,
you
did.
You put me back in, coaches. Thank you.
5 years later, regretting that mistake.
Yeah. How did I know that was coming?
Number four.
Okay, so a few things about this. Tony, you're really lucky you do not have to pronounce this guy's name on a daily basis, but a crazy scene happened last night in the Cubs-Rangers game. I'm going to be very careful with my pronunciation of Miles Mastrobuoni.
Yeah.
That's a tough name.
Yeah, well, if you just say Mastrobuoni, you can get away with it, but you had to bring attention to it.
Well, because I was afraid I was going to say something that was not radio-friendly. I'm just going to call him Mr. Miles here from now on.
Mr. Miles.
Runners on first and second in the top of the ninth. He appeared to foul off the second pitch, but when the ball bounced past catcher Jonah Heim and onto the grass, the umpire Chad Fairchild didn't signal that there had been contact, even as the catcher pleaded for it, but there was nothing the Rangers could do. That type of play isn't considered reviewable scenario by MLB rules, and it remained a pass ball. After the game, Fairchild watched the replay and spoke with reporters saying, "Well, I'm just going to stick with what I did on the field. If you've got questions for that, I'm not going to talk about videos." End quote.
Yeah.
Chris, is this a reviewable play in your mind?
Everything should be a reviewable play. That would end this. And I know that I have support from one Jesse Agler, because he mentions this often in his broadcast. Just make everything reviewable. You don't have to worry about it. You've got the technology. We can slow down the video. If it is really that inconclusive, then you're going to go with the call. But at least have the ability to review something. I think it's silly to have the technology and not use it in certain instances. So this, to me, is a really easy one to solve.
All right. Tony, is this reviewable? Is this a reviewable play in your mind?
I think this should be on the list of things that are reviewable. I don't think these jokers should be given a full
slate
of challenges to challenge whatever you want. We'll be here all day.
Well, poor Tony, you know, you got to get him home in time for the Seinfeld episode at 11 p.m.
Well, I'm just saying, no one, that was part of why nobody was coming to the games in the first place, was because...
No, I agree with you, but...
They were taking too long, so...
No, but if they used their challenge for the game on that play, then they used it, right?
Yeah, if it's going to be that way, yeah, I think that would be great.
Extra challenges. No.
That one in particular should be added, though, right? I mean... That ball changed directions. Like, it was pretty obvious when you watched it, especially in slow-mo, that he was foul-tipped it. And they ended up losing the ball game because of that. So, I guess I would agree with Chris. Open it up for everything, you still get the same amount of challenge.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't want to lengthen the game. I just want to be able to review everything. And I'll tell you another thing. They put that rule in about the first baseline yesterday, or for this year, where the white line doesn't necessarily mean you're outside the baseline.
Mm-hmm.
And the umpires boxed that up. I mean, Tyler Wade clearly got around that tag. As far as I was concerned, Tony, it was said to be 3 feet. Now, he stepped outside the line, but he did not go more than 3 feet around that tag. I think the Padres caught a bad break on that.
Yeah, I said it when it happened. That strip of dirt is not 6 feet wide. So he would need it. I mean, everybody really generally starts in the middle, one step to the right or one step to the left. You're going to have to be in the grass virtually in order to be 3 feet from where you started. I don't know, unless you are on the very edge of one way or the other, that's where you start to run, which I think is virtually impossible. You aren't going to be able to get to the, stay in the dirt and be 3 feet or past 3 feet. You're just not. Yeah. You're going to be in the grass. And I think they did box that one.
All right.
Number 3.
The Astros lost yesterday at home, which at least for now is a problem that's carried over from last year. During last season, they were 51-30 on the road. How's that possible? They didn't play...
Yeah, 81 games.
Duh. There's my math again, guys.
Not good.
51-30 on the road in the regular season compared to... that was bad. 39-42 at home. The trend also continued into the playoffs last year. The Astros were 5-0 on the road and just 1-5 at home, losing all four ALCS home games and the series in the process. So, Tony, is there something to this, or is it just a coincidence?
I think it's a coincidence. I mean, it may have been something to it last year when they were losing in the playoffs. But, I mean, it's been a whole offseason. Yeah, I don't think there's... I mean, and then again, you know, now that I think about it, they did have the whole batter's eye thing. I don't know if that's been rectified, if it's still the same or not. Because there was a lot of complaints about that, if I recall. So, I don't know. If you keep losing games there and our run totals, the offense that is as prolific as this continues to struggle there... Then we might have enough data to start saying, all right, they clearly this batter's eye thing is real. But for now, I'll say that it's coincidence. I think the Astros may be finding out how nice it was to have Dusty Baker at the helm, possibly, when this season's all said and done.
Yeah,
all
right. You brought that up.
Chris, what do you think?
Well, this is karma, getting the Astros back. And I'm going to, you're not going where you think I'm going here.
Okay.
Sometimes karma takes a long time to come around.
For sure.
But if you wait long enough, it'll get you. And the word was, when the Houston Astros played their games way back when in the Astrodome, Tony, you may remember this.
Oh, yes.
They were accused of turning the air conditioning on and blowing it in from center field when
this.
The other team was at bat, and then reversing the airflow when they were at bat. And a lot of people thought the Astros, way before the trash can incident, were doing a little cheating way back when. Well, guess what? They don't have that advantage anymore because they don't play in the Astrodome. But now, instead of winning a bunch of close games like they used to at home, they're losing. Karma wins again.
Karma wins again.
That's all I can think of.
All right.
Because otherwise, this makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Okay. Next one. That was number 3. Okay.
Yeah.
Number 2.
Your math is so good you don't even know what comes after 3.
Yes. 2 comes after 3. Rays fans are not feeling something the Rays do every year. And this year they are being very vocal about putting an end to it. I didn't know this, but the Rays hang a banner every year, even if they're just a wild card team. So fans understand that winning a division or a pennant and, of course, the World Series is worthy of a banner. But a wild card series appearance is not something they want to see hanging from the rafters, and they're asking their
really?
Team to
they
stop
want them
doing
to take
this.
It down?
No, they're just saying, can we please stop? You know, we had 99 wins last year. We didn't really do great in the playoffs, and so please stop doing this. Chris, should the Rays stop doing this?
I can understand the fans thinking the way they do, and I could also understand it if it was, a franchise that was, had been around forever and was just hanging every single possible banner and they had them strung up all over the stadium. But the Rays are pretty new to the playoffs. It seems like they make them every year now, but they're in a division with the Yankees. They're in a division with the Red Sox. I think when they accomplish that, I think it's a feather in the organization's cap, and I think most people think it is too. So I can understand why the Rays wanted to put it up there. It just signifies a successful season. And look, the Padres, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, they didn't raise anything at all a couple of years ago, right, when they got the wild card.
Hmm.
But they got to the NL Championship Series. So, to me, 2022, right?
Yeah,
2022 was a great season in Padre history, but it's not notified anywhere in the ballpark, right? Because they didn't win a division and they didn't win a pennant. So, I don't know. I don't think I'm not that upset with this.
What about you, Tony? Are you upset with the Rays for putting up a wild card banner? I know you're probably super upset.
No, I'm not upset. I'm not gonna lie. I thought that you're gonna go someplace completely different. I didn't know
like
people
what?
Were getting this upset about a wild card banner. I think that's. I think it's certainly, I think it's worthy of recognition.
Hmm.
You don't have to make it the same color as your divisional ones or you know, your World Series appearance. But I still think it's a successful season. I think you should celebrate those, because although things are going good now, it doesn't always mean it's going to be like that. We see it all the time. Teams going 10, 15-year droughts, and you'll be wishing that you could hang a wild card banner again.
That is very true. They will be wishing. Chris, what if the Rockies, if they even just
they
make it out of,
wishing.
If they're like fourth place, do they hang a banner this
Rockies
year?
Rockies are going to put up a banner for 10 wins this year.
10 wins, okay.
They're going to signify that accomplishment.
Number one.
Now, Atlanta Braves manager Brian Snicker's family did not go to Philadelphia on opening day. He called out Phillies fans in spring training. I missed this, but he said he was they had objectionable behavior from Phillies fans in the playoffs.
Who did this?
Brian Snicker.
Okay.
There was objectionable behavior from Phillies fans towards his wife and other Atlanta friends and family members during the playoffs. He said in a radio interview a few weeks ago, quote, "It's rough there, and they don't seem to mind either, quite honestly. It was rough on them all last year to the point where it was concerning for his family." Tony, are the Phillies fans the quote-unquote worst in baseball?
Well, I mean, I'm sure to folks outside of Philly, yeah, I'm sure they feel like that.
Tony plays there, remember.
I know.
So he's loved in Philadelphia.
I know.
This isn't anything new, by the way. Philly has always been thought of has some of the worst fans to deal with from an opposing team. And you know what? It's kind of supposed to be that way. Now, whether Philly fans go further than other fans, I don't know that that's necessarily true. There seems to be a lot of, we can keep discussing this, but there seems to be a lot of bad behavior no matter where you go, it seems like, in stadiums. But I'm sure Philly's dialed up a little bit more than some of the others. And to answer your question, are they the worst fan base in terms of the opponents going in there? I would say yes.
All right, so Chris has been worried about Mr. Go heading over to Philly
well,
for a while now.
That's the city I bring up every time, isn't it?
It is. That's what I'm saying. You always say
but
it.
I agree with Tony. I think fan behavior is lousy everywhere. And I think Brian Snitker and, you know, the Braves, you know, in a situation like this, I think he ought to look to his own organization to see if he can't get them, you know, a place to sit up in the press box area, or whether, you know, if it's a suite, whatever. I'm sure the Braves could afford it. You know, have them, you know, if they want them to attend a game. You go out in the middle of the fans and in Philadelphia and you wear a bunch of Brian Snitker gear and cheer the manager. I don't know what else you expect Philadelphia fans to do. They're not going to welcome you with open arms. That's just, that should be expected and almost understood. And I agree with Tony. It's not any different with the Mets. It's not any different with the bleacher bums at Wrigley Field.
That's right.
Yankees, Red Sox. And ask Dodger fans how Padre fans treat them. Not any better. Fan behavior's at an all-time low. I mean, we've been going through this for, you know, on and on here. So, you know, I don't really put this on Philadelphia fans. I put it on just behavior of people.
Just behavior of people. Okay, yeah. That's probably pretty fair, to be honest.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's
that was
it
good.
For...
That was an all baseball Big Five today.
Was that?
Was.
Yeah.
That was strong.
All baseball Big Five. Well done.
Thanks. I told you I'm ready for baseball. I was sitting there last night looking up guys I can pick up on my fantasy team.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Well
I'm
done.
Ready. All right. We'll get you set for this game tonight between the Padres and the Giants when we get back here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.